CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. You made it to the end of the week. Well done. Congratulations. All right, so let's get this this weekend off to a good start, shall we? Let's see, lots of people. Good morning. I'm wondering if we're going to have a stage 4 load shitting the whole weekend, just like last weekend, says Gary. You're asking the wrong guy. Gary, I don't even have that that app, that Eskom's Puss, or whatever it's called, app. What is it called? Hang on. You've got it?
Oh, yeah. I can't live without it.
Okay. You know why I don't... I've just thought about it. Like, what's the most obvious reason I don't have it? I don't cook. So, if you don't cook, then... No, because the load shedding, you know, the cooking is the thing that really messes with people. Because if you have to make supper or you have to make breakfast or you have to do any of that shit, then you need power.
Mine's just for the internet, charging my phone, charging my laptop. I certainly don't spend hours in the kitchen cooking for one.
No, but what I mean is if they seem to want to do it around lunch, supper time every night, and that really is very frustrating for people, because even if you have like a battery or an inverter or a backup that just helps you with your lights and your internet, a lot of people are like, I don't have that for the stove or the oven because that takes a lot of power. So that's where it really buggers people around. But anyway, we're not going to start our morning talking about those assholes, are we? No. Oh, hell no. All right, so lots of things to get to today. We've got Ben joining us in a little while. We've got Leanne Moll here with us this morning. It's all happening. Whew. Any plans for the weekend, ass?
Not at the moment, no. And yourself?
Maybe. Well, I'm still toying with the idea of going to a little thing in the KwaZulu-Natal bush, but I better decide in the next hour, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. And it also depends on who else is going, you know, because people are flaky, you know. You can never really be sure about these things. We were talking to that friend of mine, Brett, earlier in the week, and then he was saying to me, you know, he's the one who's organized this thing. He's like, there's so many people coming and it's going to be amazing. And I'm like, all right, good. Maybe I'll do this. What the hell? I don't have any set plans for the weekend. The only problem, Leanne, with this is this. Someone needs to look after this. If I do. See this little thing. Look at this.
Who is that?
This is little Alice. Hey, Babette.
Alice.
Oh, man. She's very sleepy.
How old is she?
3 months old. So same breed as Carl, and I took her to the office on Tuesday, and I introduced her to everybody on the show yesterday, but having a very, very lazy morning this morning. Hey, she's not enjoying waking up.
We want to see her more.
She doesn't like the cold. She's very cross. But she's sleepy, man. She doesn't want to be talking to you and me. Here we go, little Baba. Say hello.
Oh, hi, little one.
Oh, man.
Alice.
She's so cute.
She can't hear me because she's not wearing headphones.
No, Leanne, but after all these years of radio, I'm so impressed it took took that long for you to figure it out. Yes.
You know, I'm so used to being able – my brother's now got these cameras in his house.
Yeah.
Where if you're not there, you can check on what the dog's doing.
Oh, yeah. Those are amazing.
They're awesome. So sometimes we dial in and then we call her. She's sitting on the sofa.
Right.
And it obviously confuses her, and she ends up coming up to the camera turning her head. And she doesn't have to wear headphones.
But imagine you're a dog, and then you suddenly hear your owner's voice, and you're like, where the hell's this cat? And you're all alone in the house. I mean, it's horrible. I must scare the hell out of them, right?
Yeah, probably. But it also probably keeps them occupied for a few more seconds of their boring time away.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, this one is very, very dependent already. Hey, she just is on my case. She's like, I'm your dog, following you around everywhere you go, whatever you do, I'm your shadow, basically.
So, what is she doing that's annoying you at the moment?
Nothing. She's such a good girl. I mean, I don't want to bore everybody with this in you know, it's a conversation about someone's dog. It's like when someone talks about their kid and, oh, my kid's so great, doing so well at school. And it's very athletic and it's very talented. And my kid's amazing. But this little puppy who's, you know, she's only been with me just over a week. She has not had one accident in the house. She goes up and down the stairs like a rocket. She eats all her food. She sleeps, obviously, on the bed. There was no way. I mean, like, for the first night or two, I was like, I'm going to try and put her in a basket. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
She, like, just stands there on the side of the bed looking at you with those puppy dog eyes, and you're like, it's got to get in the bed. I know a lot of people think that's a terrible idea. A lot of people go, it's unhygienic to have a dog sleep in your bed. And you're like, have you seen some people sleep with? And you're going to give me shit about a dog, you know? So,
oh, yeah.
So she's really good. She's happy, healthy, full of beans. She's already made friends with all the other dogs. So she's having a great time.
Oh, so she knows all her cousins now.
Yeah. And she's been around the whole family. I mean, my sister went to fetch her with me. Because you can't go and get a brand new little puppy and then put her on the passenger seat and expect her to just sit there. So
yes.
She's good. The whole way through the show, she'll probably sleep. In fact, I've got a little basket here next to me, which she'll sleep in. So I better put her in there now, and then she can go doo-doos. But lovely, lovely dog. Oh, my God. And there's something about these little puppies. You just, you know, when you have another creature in the house with you, it's a lot better than being in the house on your own. I don't get lonely. I honestly don't. But it's like another living presence around you. So it's just better than not having one. I mean, Ben has his cats. You have your cats. Pumi has a pug. You know, some people just, they can't live without a dog. And other people just really don't love dogs. And that's okay, too. You know, if you really don't like animals, that's fine. I mean, some people have goldfish and birds and reptiles. And I don't get that. So I understand why people don't get that you have a dog.
Well, I want to actually talk about something, but I want to wait for Ben because it'll interest him.
Okay.
About a documentary speaking about pets, but yeah, let's hang on to that.
Is this true? We have a 12th official language while we're talking about some news this morning.
Yes, we do.
What is it?
There's a language that has been added.
Okay. What is it?
It is the South African Sign Language, SASL.
Okay, yeah, all right.
So, you know, obviously sign language differs from country to country and culture to culture. And so this is the official South African Sign Language. So it's the 12th language. It's probably around 0.5% of the population who uses it. So it is the smallest demographic of the other 11 dialects.
Right.
But there are already proposals to teach signing in schools.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Well, it is cool. You know, it's a language already in use. I mean, official language, we're not going to have to put sign language on official documents now, are we?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
See, because that could get very expensive. That's my only – I'm just putting that in as a proviso.
I don't think we have all the languages in official documents anyway. I mean, it's certainly not like you'll see – English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Xhosa, Sepedi, Tswana.
Well, with 12 official languages, can you imagine all the paper we'd waste and all the printing? You're like, I'm only going to fill in the English part. Don't worry about the rest, you know? Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, obviously, English isn't even the language that has the highest percentage of mother tongue speakers.
Right.
That's Zulu.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, we do have everything in English.
That is true. So a couple of people who've died. I hate starting this. Ray Liotta from The Godfather, he died. Yeah. Remember him?
And he was also, you know, he wasn't just at home doing nothing. He was on set.
Oh, really?
He was filming for a movie, and he just fell asleep and
wow.
Didn't wake up.
That's a good way to go. If you're going to go, that's the way. I mean, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can only wish.
Yes. So, I mean, that's not the worst. And how old was he? Do we know?
67.
All right. Also saw the guy from Depeche Mode hop the perch, Andy Fletcher. So that's another one. I don't like to start the show with all the obituaries, but we've got to, you know. Dead people don't read sign language, you tit, says Carla. Wait a second. I'm not sure.
You didn't say it. Right.
Yeah, I mean, is that someone in the comments that you're arguing with there, Gary? Carla, or are you having an argument with someone in your head? In which case, you really should go and see the shrink this morning. Yeah, Goodfellas. That was Ray Liotta's most famous fucking movie, and I love that movie. Oh man, that is still the best mob movie of all time. It's just so great. All right,
yeah.
A couple of things on the agenda. I'm very happy to tell you that I saw Mabuyulelele yesterday,
and
he's actually planning to go to Europe. He's obviously. He's got a couple of things that he wants to start doing over there, but he said he'd pop in on the show at some point. So for all those people who've been asking for a little while, where is Mabuyulelele? He's around. He came to pop in and say goodbye to us yesterday at Cliff Central because he's off to Europe. And we also celebrated Lebang's birthday with a cake in the office yesterday, which was quite cool. So she's also... She's ready to go on maternity leave soon, but she'll be on the show next week, so still lots of time with her.
Has Mbulelo let himself go?
No, not at all. Why would you say that? What a bitchy
maybe
thing.
Maybe it was just a pipe dream.
No, I'll show you. No, he hasn't let himself go. No, please. You know what he's like. He's insane. He's like a sergeant major with himself. I'll put up a picture quickly because he did pop in yesterday to see us, and he's good. He's good. He actually posted this thing on his Facebook or something the other day. He was standing in a queue at some government department trying to get something, and he was like, he was listening to radio because there was radio on in the building. And he said, "It's so shit." And he's like, "I really miss what I was doing. This is where I miss the show that we do every day because obviously it's a whole lot more entertaining than whatever's going on radio." So here he is, a picture of me with Mabuyulelele, just to prove that he's alive yesterday. We need proof of life.
And that he hasn't let himself go.
And especially for Leanne, so we can just say, he hasn't let himself go. It's terribly important that Leanne knows this. Not the way you say that. It's like so glib. It's unbelievable. For some reason, it's not coming up on the screen. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'll post it on Instagram later.
Cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. The weekend is going to be cold, that much we know, and no one's looking forward to that. I did make a fire earlier this week, and I thought even that's not going to make me feel better if it's fucking freezing. I did get talking to a friend of mine who lives in Canada, and he's in such a horrible part of Canada, like Manitoba or whatever. This poor guy, it's been... icy cold since he arrived there, I think in August or whatever last year. Now, August is meant to be part of the summer. It's the opposite of our winter. So even in the shitty parts of Canada, but this guy is obviously in such a terrible place in Canada. It's basically he has not been able to leave the house until very recently. And even going outside now is like an ordeal because it's as cold there now in what is supposed to be spring as it is here in what is obviously the end of autumn and going into winter. I mean, I don't know how people live in that.
Understand.
Give me tropical and I'd be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, those houses are built for it. So at least once he's in the house, he's okay. I heard from a Canadian recently who has moved to Joburg. And they said they cannot believe how the houses don't protect us at all from the cold.
Well, I mean, that's also a thing, right? Like, we don't have double glazing or insulation or underfloor heating. And if you do have underfloor heating in South Africa, you're asking for trouble because Eskom find out about that. And you will suddenly have to pay, like, the whole cost of the house just if you switch your underfloor heating on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. It's outrageously expensive. I know a few people who've got underfloor heating, they just never turn it on. I'm like, well, why did you bother putting it in? They're like, ah, it was here when I got the house. Don't give me shit. Right.
It's also the type of thing you've got to turn on at the beginning of winter and off at the end. All this on and off is a nightmare, especially if it's under tiles.
Oy. You can't do that. You need to be a billionaire to do that.
Well, you put it in certain areas. Like I've had it in my bathrooms before, and that's okay. It's just like a small area.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, you're very obviously very very wealthy, Leanne, because a lot of people.
Yeah, because like
bathroom
4 by 1 meters is going to throw off my entire budget.
Well, it would me. Here's the picture of Bulelo, by the way. There he is. Popped in yesterday at the studio.
Looking good.
Mm-hmm. No, he's fine. He's full of bounce and energy, so things are good. Yeah. I also I'm not entirely sure how this works, but I think probably people go out less in winter as well. That restaurants are less busy. Usually this is the case because, again, we're not really prepared for this. A lot of restaurants have outside areas which they have to close in the winter because who wants to sit there? Or else they have those heaters, those like mushroom-shaped heaters?
Yeah, no, listen, when you've got kids, I don't think it really matters what season it is.
You just have
children
to do it.
Children will play in the cold in their T-shirts. They don't care. So I think those sort of parents have to get out, otherwise they'll go crazy.
Right. Rebellious Ruth says, plenty of people dying in their sleep. It's not sus at all. Well, is it? So I've got to talk about this too. Congo Chris brings this up. Speaking of language, because the 12th official language is sign language now, the open forum for the renaming of the Taal Monument, not the Taal, but the Taal Monument started yesterday. Mm. All right, so I think it's in Franschhoek, the Taal Monument, or is it in Paarl? I can't remember. One of the
not
two.
Not 100% sure.
But the Taal Monument is an Afrikaans language monument. Now, the stupid government don't seem to understand the point of a monument, right? The stupid government wanted to put up a flag, which was 100 meters tall, and the people of South Africa were like, fuck you. So they've had to cancel that idea, which is correct. But when you build a monument to a language, that doesn't mean it's a monument to all languages. It's not. It's an Afrikaans language monument. You want a language monument for Sepedi? Build one. You want a language monument for English? Build one. You want one for sign language? Build one. You can't go and take an existing monument and say, oh, well, it's so unfair that Afrikaans has its own language monument. First of all, we don't know, but I doubt very much that one was funded outside of the apartheid era. So everything they built was mostly to honor the nationalist ideas of the apartheid government. Even if it was built then, you can't go and appropriate it now. It's like when, you rename a highway that's been there for 20, 30 years. Like, you can't just do that. It's appropriating something that wasn't built by you. I can't come into your house and name it Hall Cliffington because I like the look of your house. And you can't come into my house and name my toilet Leanne's Throne because you like the look of it. This is so outrageously stupid. And it proves
what a waste of time, really. Come on, guys.
This Department of Arts and Culture cannot get their heads out of their asses. I mean, Natim Tetwa, who God knows how long this idiot's been in government for, and he is an idiot. You just have to watch any interview with him. He barely string a sentence together without falling over his own words. He's illiterate in every language, including his home language. So this guy and his department, who have done very little during COVID to help artists, to help, people in South Africa who were struggling in that kind of department. I mean, they raised some token amount, but they probably, God knows, wasted way more than that. And then you see, like, for example, the Johannesburg Art Gallery, which contains some of our most priceless treasure in this country, stuff that is irreplaceable. Right. Apparently, they haven't been open for ages because the place is falling apart. So we've got all this incredible art that's been collected by the state for everyone's good. Right. And we're told that the state can always run things better by people on the left. They're like, well, if you just hand it over to the state, then they'll take care of your medical care. They'll take care of your education. They'll take care of your workplace. They'll take care of the opportunities in the market and all of this stuff. Oh, yeah, really. They do it worse than anyone else. And I don't want to moan about politics for the whole of the first hour of this morning's show.
Especially on No Politics Friday.
I know, but how can we be treating the arts and part of our cultural history, and this is where all of our cultural history does matter, not in some monument that was built specifically for Afrikaans, but the Joburg Art Gallery, that really is for everybody. There's stuff in there that's Ndebele. There's stuff in there that was painted by people like Maggie Loebscher and Pinyef. There's stuff in there that was painted by some of the most famous names in South African art history. And what is Natim Tetwa doing? Sitting on his hands, worrying about renaming the Afrikaans Taal Monument to the Language Monument for All Languages. When Afrikaans is specifically given credit for being the youngest language in the world, it is. And it was not formed the same way that either English or isiZulu or isiXhosa or any of the others were formed. If you want to build monuments to those, good. Go ahead and do it. I don't think anyone will hate you for that, especially if you can keep the cost below 22 million rand, which would seem reasonable. I mean, if someone can build a whole house for a million rand, which is doable, right? We can build a monument. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the tallest thing in the world. It can just be a nice, you know, distinguished, dignified monument to whichever language. But you can't go and just appropriate the Taal Monument, let the Joburg Art Gallery fall to pieces, and tell me that you're a Department of Arts and Culture when you just go around renaming things, which is really the cheapest, laziest way to do anything. It's like you just scratch out the title on your history project and rename it to science project, but it's the same thing. Dummies.
No.
We really do.
Very annoying.
We have such stupid people in government. Nati has some pennies left in the budget, says Tracy, so he wants to do something rather than nothing. It's easier to change things than to do the hard work, i.e. support artists during hard COVID lockdown. Exactly. Congo Chris continues, how can you spend millions, he says, hang on, how can you spend millions renaming an Afrikaans monument instead of funding the reopening of the District 6 Museum? Right now, there's a good cause. It's not about culture, it's about cultural erasure. Well, that's also true. You know, let me tell you something, this whole renaming thing, which has been going on since 1994, is, for some people, it is a tremendously important thing. For other people, they could care less. But to me, it's just lazy. You know, they take Jan Smuts Airport, they rename it O.R. Tambo Airport. Now, I think that Jan Smuts started the South African Air Force and probably brought much of commercial aviation to this country when he was Prime Minister. Now, you may have your problems about Jan Smuts. I'd like to hear them, because you obviously haven't read a history book if you think he's a bad guy. You know, he was part of the Allied fight against Hitler in World War II, and was by all measures an extraordinarily gifted man. He was a polymath. I mean, he wrote books. He invented things. He was a soldier. He was a politician. He was a lawyer. He was a very, very talented man. But we go and rename it after O.R. Tambo, who, as far as I can tell, the only thing that links O.R. Tambo to airplanes is that he went into exile and then came back on a plane. So if that matters to people, makes them feel good, makes them feel like O.R. Tambo had a hand in it, good. But what I'd like to see is things that we've built since 1994 being named after the heroes of the struggle, because that would be appropriate. You don't see O.R. Tambo Airport. And look, they've refurbished it, so that might be an argument. You know, they rebuilt parts of it. They've expanded the airport. I'm not emotional about the airport. So you want to name it after him, that's actually okay. But wouldn't it be better to fix all of the huge need in a huge township like Alex, which needs all the help it can get?
Yeah.
And instead of calling it Alexandra Township, why don't we name it, you know, O.R. Tambo or something else, Winnie Madikizela Mandela or something. Give it to a hero, but then make it better. Make it amazing. Make it something that people go, wow, you know, they've improved the lives of the people who live there, and they renamed it after someone who also did everything in their life to try and improve the lives of the people who live there. That would be appropriate. We've got Robben Island moldering away, which is one of our most
really upsetting.
I find that so unacceptable that to a government that is using the legacy of Nelson Mandela, left, right, and center, to try and prop themselves up politically, that they don't look after Robben Island is a disgrace. You know?
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I look around the rest of the world, and with a few exceptions in history for really bad people, you know, even King John, who was like the worst king of England, he plunged them into a renewed civil war. He lost all the English possessions across the Channel. His armies were a complete failure. He even lost the crown jewels in the sea. That's how bad he was as a king. He was terrible. King John was the worst king. But you know what he did? He founded Oxford University. He was the first king to give them a charter and say, yes, here's some money, here's some land, build a university. In the 1200s, not to me, that gives King John's statue every right to be in Oxford. And there is a statue to King John in Oxford. If you do something and you get a statue, can't have later generations come along and go, we're not so sure about you. Because once you start doing that, guess what? The next generation might decide that the statue we put up is bullshit. You erase history. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it reminds me a lot of when I used to go to Portugal a lot, as you know.
Mm.
And
you were basically so Portuguese, you even thought of growing your underarm hair for a while.
Maybe I have. you know, looking at their ruins and historic places of interest, there aren't actually many left because they weren't looked after. And you take a 20-minute drive into Spain and you see a completely different story, how everything has been preserved and how amazing it is. You know, it's one thing saying, well, we want to look after Robben Island, but no one actually understands the maintenance that goes into these things, the amount of time that you have to spend.
Right.
I've seen some random photographs of small things like little local police stations, which have completely deteriorated. And before they were well maintained with little flower boxes and, you know, the weeds trimmed.
Well,
it takes time to look after these places.
This is why you have a government. We don't have a government so that they can pilfer money and put it into their own pockets. They're meant to look after the place for all of us. And when it comes to arts and culture, otherwise just disband the Department of Arts and Culture. Just get rid of it, you know, the whole lot. Fire the whole department, because if you're trying to save money, great, then get rid of them. We don't need them at all. But if you actually have the department, put them to work doing things that look after arts and culture. They should be making, you know what, Mapungubwe, right, which is the site that they discovered in Limpopo. They dug up those gold artifacts that proved that there were very skilled craftsmen and there was a high civilization here in southern Africa a couple of hundred years ago. And this is a major discovery, and I think a very important and valid and useful and interesting scientific discovery. You don't see too much fuss about that, do you? You would have, if I asked you, where are the relics of Mapungubwe, you'd have to look it up on the internet. Now, that should be stuff that people from all over the world come here to see. We've got the Cradle of Humankind, which I think was largely financed by private money, not even public money. You know, universities, overseas donors. So again, what are these guys doing? What is Natim Tepa going to do today except surf Pornhub in his office and by 5 o'clock when it's knockoff time, polish off a bottle of Johnny Blue? Like, that's not a person we need to take seriously. It's unreal. Anyway, lots of people are talking about the Ricky Gervais comedy special. And Ruth says, I haven't laughed like that in a while. I do not watch this, she says, if you're a crybaby, sensitive, woke motherfucker. Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, he's anything but, that's for sure.
Guy. What a great guy. It's just unbelievable. So Steph says, renaming an airport's one thing, but letting a symbol like Robben Island rot away is diabolical. Mm. Again, I couldn't agree more. You know,
I mean,
what
talking of places that people from overseas want to see first.
Yes. They want to go to Robben Island. They want to see Nelson Mandela's cell. And what do? We've let the place fall apart and go to rack and ruin. They're asking for money right now from Parliament. Anyway, look, I remember getting all cut up about Egypt when there were, you know, when there was the revolution there in Egypt around, what was it, 2008-9, I think, maybe a bit later even. I was like, oh my God, the only thing I was worried about was the Egyptian Museum. It's like, I don't let the people in the streets gun each other down till kingdom come. But if you destroy those artifacts that are in the museum, and it's not about things that are precious because of their actual material value, those artifacts belong to all of humanity. It's our history. It's part of what our story will be forevermore. And if those idiot politicians on whichever side, whether they were there to defend the old fascist regime that was in charge there, or whether they were there from the Muslim Brotherhood, or from any other political sign, nobody cares. Like, in the long history of the world, do you really think that the name of the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, whom I can't even recall for the moment, or even the name of the president who was deposed, what was his name? Who cares, right? Do you think that's going to be more important than Ramses II or Tutmosis or Akhenaten or Tutankhamun? No. Mm. And that's like our history. All the world has a share in Egypt's history. But no, they had to make it all about their current political bullshit. And that's how people will look at us in like 50 years' time, 100 years' time. They'll go, those guys were so obsessed with their present politics that they forgot about their place in the story of the world.
Yeah.
Because I can promise you now, someone like, you know, O.R. Tambo or Jan Smuts, their name will live on. But no one is going to remember Natim Tetwa. Nobody. Oh, Hosni Mubarak. Thank you very much. And it was in 2010. Yonder, you champion. Sometimes I can't recall these things. So thank God I've got smart people listening. All right. DK has a suggestion. Maybe with Robben Island, they want to make it look horrible because it makes it even more emotional for visitors.
No, not quite.
I don't think that's the truth. I don't think that's what they're doing at all.
I'm sure the people who you know, work the grounds and have worked on Robben Island and even lived on Robben Island want to see it preserved and want to see it succeed.
Everybody wants to see Robben Island preserved. I don't know anyone in the whole world who's like, no, let it go to hell. Doesn't matter. Listen, Europe let ancient Rome go to rack and ruin for hundreds of years. It was buried under bullshit. You know, they had to rediscover that stuff. Now imagine if they just looked after it from the get-go instead of being worried about their own immediate political objectives. And you know, if the Goths who'd sacked Rome had any appreciation for the majesty,
those emo Goths,
those goddamn Goths, they ruin everything. But if the Goths had just had the humility to realize that Rome was spectacular and that they were just a bunch of marauding assholes, because that's what the Goths were, and they literally tore marble off of buildings and used it to build little huts in the forum on top of like the temple of Julius Caesar. They're like, we'll just build this here, our stupid Goths. And now in history, we look back and we're like, dumb Goths, they ruined Rome. That's how it's going to be. Hey, Ben.
Hey, everybody.
You're in your dressing gown.
Yeah, I was running a few minutes late this morning, so I went from shower to, you know.
That's all right. Luckily, this isn't a fashion show.
It's not.
No, it's not. I know that's
I always thought that was the only reason for living, Gareth. Rusty parade around here.
Sorry. Whoa. I hate to spoil it for you. Hey, I've got an interesting little graph here to show you. I wonder if this is something that you've thought about at all. Which countries have a share of respondents that had spent money on a gym membership in the past 12 months? In other words, which countries are working on becoming less fat and unhealthy? You want to guess? Because we know America is getting fatter and lazier, right?
Yeah, this is an interesting graph because I think there's a combination of people who just don't care and people who are fat. So the worst countries will be quite surprising. I would always say South Africa has a big gym culture because, you know, guys...
Really boot? Huh?
Guys are getting well swole.
Is that what they say? All right.
You're going to be swole as fuck, Gareth.
All right, so here it is. Let's not titillate and tease you anymore. So here's the share of respondents who had spent money on a gym membership in the past 12 months. India is way in the lead, 24%.
That's surprising. I mean, like, no disrespect to Indian men, but I wouldn't have gone there that.
Then South Africa, 21%. Then China, 20%. They really are going to take over the world. Australia...
They'll take over a world that they think exists. There's not a lot of creativity in China, Gareth. Always remember that.
Yeah, well, it's probably not a lot of good shit going down where you have a social credit system. Basically, the government can switch off your food supply or whatever else they want.
Exactly.
Then there's Australia, 19%. United Kingdom, 14%. US, 13%. Germany, 11%. Canada, 10%. Italy, 9%. France, 4%. Ah, didn't they include the Central African Republic?
This is such a weird graph.
Why no Afghanistan?
I would never have expected it. I'm trying to figure out, is it maybe because in the countries with the lower percentages, because, I mean, those can be pretty healthy people. Is it because you do a lot of walking and playing, like, football and doing that sort of thing instead of having to pay to go and train at a gym?
Maybe. What do you reckon?
Well, this is the thing about health, right? It's quite subjective because for a lot of people, not dying or not shitting themselves is healthy. But then gyms are like the other side of the spectrum where you're looking for excellence, looking to build an aesthetic, you're looking to be physically strong. So, yeah, it's one of those graphs that's like a nice snapshot. And the fact that 4% of frauds don't go to the gym, just shows how absolutely French they are about that kind of stuff.
Leanne,
it's a good point because, I mean, obviously we don't know what's happening in North Korea because there's no stats on North Korea, so they might be going. They don't really have a gym.
They're pumping iron.
they've got something way better. It's called a work camp. It'll catch on here in 20 years, trust me.
When the Chinese take over Africa, then we'll all be in a work camp. We'll be fit, but we'll be very unhappy. Can I ask you guys, like, I'm not always too keen to get into, like, conspiracy theories, but the World Economic Forum happened, right, this week. These guys seem to me to be the most terrible people in the world. There's this guy called Klaus Schwab, right? He is like a prototype. Ben, you'll know about this because you've watched all the Bond movies. He is like a Bond villain cut straight out of an Ian Fleming novel. He's got the German accent. Yeah, one day you will live and you will have nothing and you will be happy. It's like a parody of a bad guy in a movie. And he was making this announcement. Now, listen, this guy's not hiding the ball. You can read his book, which is called, I think it's New World Order or something. It's like, it's all written there. He basically wants to create a system which... they, the elites of the world, will run, and we'll all just have to fit in, or they'll just take away everything you have. And he's not trying to hide it. He's not saying, you know, the World Economic Forum, we're just a harmless bunch of people who meet up in Davos every year, and, you know, we go skiing, and we have a few drinks, and fuck each other's wives, any of that stuff. He's not trying to paint this picture of them being this benign organization. In his own words, they are a bunch of absolute maniacs, power-hungry, self-interested maniacs who have coordinated so much of the bad shit that has happened to us in the last 2.5 years with COVID. It's them. They're behind it all.
So, and why are they getting away with it?
I don't know. Tell me, because to me it's like
it's because they've got all these politicians, these stupid pieces of shit in their pocket, Gareth. And, yeah. And that's why this whole Davos thing has been like, you know, we got to go to Davos and we'll find out how we can be better for the economy. Bullshit. You got to go get the next part of the story, you dickheads.
I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday who I really think is one of the smartest people. And the things he was telling me, he's got a theory. Like, you could call him a conspiracy theorist and then you could just dismiss him, or you could actually listen to him, which I chose to do. Look, if you like someone, you're prepared to listen to them, even if they're talking stuff that you think might be nonsense from anyone else's mouth, right?
Sure.
He was saying to me, he thinks, and he said it's just, this is logic, and he's smart. He's way smarter than me, if you ask me. So he goes, look, this whole vaccination thing is basically an onboarding program for us to end up being in a system where people can be put onto a digital currency. So everything you have will be issued by a central bank digital currency. In other words, for every rand eventually, the central bank and all the other banks will dissolve in between, will be the authority that says, well, Ben, we're going to convert your whole value. Let's say you're worth, I don't know, 100,000 rand. We're going to convert that into 100,000 of these central bank digital currency tokens, and then you will be happy because now you can spend this anywhere and it's safer and, you know, all this. But the ultimate goal is control. And then like in China, if you want to buy cabbage, but they don't like you eating cabbage because, I don't know, it creates too much greenhouse gas, they'll say, nope, sorry, you can't spend your digital currency on cabbage. This is the way he was explaining it to me. I was like, holy shit, if this is true, and it didn't, like, I'm not getting angry and upset about it because what are you going to do anyway? But if this is true, we have to find a way of not being pulled into the system. We have to find a way of living outside of that system.
Sorry, guys, can I just wind it back a little bit? After all the fuckery that's happened in the last 3 years, can we readdress the term conspiracy theory? Because more truth, more honesty, more credibility comes out of so-called conspiracy theories than comes out of politicians, comes out of media. So I think we should actually disband this whole conspiracy theory term now. Because the CIA created in the 70s anyway to discredit people who were finding out about their shit. So I think the stigma around that must stop. But it makes so much sense. Like, if people do actually join the dots here and they look at this Davos circle jerk that happens, and the people that go there, it's exactly where all these things are going. And it's so absolutely plain to see. But yet people don't want to actually ask the question because it's like, oh, shit, that's quite inconvenient for me to talk about this. It's quite difficult.
You know, for example, I mean, the conspiracy theories, you're quite right, Ben. They're only really a conspiracy theory until obviously everybody realizes they were right, you know?
Inconvenient truths.
Correct. Now, there was a guy called Edward Louis Bernays, for example, who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He invented PR. He was the...
And Bernays sauce.
And Bernays, no, this is a different spelling. B-E-R-N-A-I-S. Yeah. I mean, then he'd be a real genius. But this guy invented propaganda and PR. And you know, PR isn't for public relations. It's actually short for propaganda. Because if you call it propaganda, it has a bad overtone, apparently.
Interesting. You
know? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest. You say propaganda, who do you think of? Hitler. So,
So this guy.
PR.
This guy invented propaganda, and he was named one of the 100 most influential Americans of the 20th century. He was the subject of a number of full-length biographies, and he was the guy behind a 1929 campaign to promote women smoking by branding cigarettes as feminist torches of freedom. Yeah. He was hired by Procter & Gamble, General Electric.
Wow.
He was connected
to the CIA. I mean, that's pretty genius.
He was connected with the CIA orchestrated overthrow of the Guatemalan government in 1954. And he wrote these books about propaganda and how you can persuade dumb people to follow a narrative. In fact, even comes from him. Now, this, it's there for you to read. You can look it up. It's not a conspiracy theory. Why would people still believe the media and governments in 2022? I was asking this question when everyone was blindly following governments at the beginning of the pandemic.
Well, we obviously know the answers because everybody wants a daddy and people believe in magic. But have you seen the Ricky Gervais movie, The Invention of Lying?
Yes, what a great movie.
Okay, so this guy you're describing right now, he basically was the first person to commercialize lying. He was like, hang on a second. There's this thing called, I can tweak the truth, alternative reality. It's kind of smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, like humans have been devious from the beginning. And they've been, you know, perverting things from the start.
Yes.
And all this guy did is he weaponized creativity in a very sort of different way. It's like, okay, well, I don't have to actually be truthful because these people believe me. So if I'm very convincing, again, like con men, you've got to be convincing in life. You can do whatever you want. That Charles guy and his mates at Davos, they're very convincing yes. about this world order. Like, you know, we've got poverty, we've got war, we've got tension. We need a better way to live. And people are like, yeah, hang on a second. Yeah, I think it's a bit all fucked up right now. Maybe there's a better structure. And all he's going is like, cool, I got buy-in from desperate, dumb, ignorant people. Now, mm-hmm. whatever I want to do, I've put the framework together. Now it's all me, profit. So if you create a cause that people go, yeah, actually, no, you've got a good point. It's like this whole thing with COVID. It was like there was so much fear and so much anxiety that was pushed out in all these different stages that people were like, yeah, of course I want the vaccine. Of course.
Exactly.
Programmed to want it.
Right. And we're also...
It's a perfect time to pounce on people is when they're fearful.
Create vulnerability, then create profit, Leanne. That's business.
So if PR is just propaganda, which it seems they were invented by the same man, and every business and every government has a PR wing, we should be suspicious of all of them.
Well, why does a president have a spokesperson? Why does a press secretary, all those kind of people? And don't tell me it's because they're too busy. Those fuckers need to prioritize talking to people if that's good, their excuse.
That's all they're there for.
They've got to spin it. They've got to keep things on brand, on narrative.
Right. Well, a lot of people are saying in the comments... what other conspiracy theories are there? Because all mine have come true. Give me some new ones.
There we go.
You know, because what they do also, that even sounds conspiratorial, but people will take something that someone says, and if they don't agree with it, they'll say, oh, well, that's just like saying, you know, the Bigfoot exists or Loch Ness Monster or UFOs. Well, UFOs, Congress just last week heard testimony from Navy pilots, people in the Air Force, over 800 documented events of unidentified flying objects. You could call me a conspiracy theory all you like, but that happened in a Congress investigation, a special commission, going on right now. We're also busy with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp that we didn't pay attention.
Sure,
Do you remember when we were like, ooh, Area 51 and Roswell and all of this shit, and people were like, ah, please, conspiracy theory. Well, now suddenly stuff's coming out. People are like, whoa, hang on a second. Well, the ones who are paying attention. You're telling me that stuff's true? And maybe. It may just be. So Klaus Schwab can suck my dick. I'm not going to be joining in his big social experiment. I am going to... disappear off the grid. They're not going to be able to find me. We'll find a way of doing this show somewhere else. Klaus Schwab, go to hell.
And this is why I love the spirit of cryptocurrency. I mean, it's kicking me in the dick at the moment, but it's just, this is something, and maybe Charles Schwab's, maybe he owns crypto. Who knows? It's a very interesting tangible.
Charles Schwab.
Called Schwab. But it's like this, the very nature of wanting to decentralize and create something like this is to go against these central banks, people, Charles Schwab's, who want to create this whole control mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm gonna like throw sparks at a paraffin fire with you on this one, but Ghislaine Maxwell, what's happened with her testimony? Why can't we see her talking about what happened with that Epstein creep. Why don't we get to see her testimony live, but we have to watch Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? Tell me the media aren't in on this. Because I do not care about the outcome of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, but I want to know which slimy sacks of shit politicians were involved in pedophilia and God knows what other heinous acts with Jeffrey Epstein. I want to know who those people are, because they're professing that they're the leaders of the world. I want to see those people sent to court. I want to see them held responsible for all the disgusting things that were happening at high levels across world governments. But no, we won't hear Ghislaine Maxwell. We'll have to listen to Amber Heard crying on the stand. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, it's obvious. I mean, Ghislaine could go to Davos and she could probably pick up a better trial there, because she could be fingering all those guys. Very, very connected. And also, like, it's this is the thing, Gareth. This is what I find so infuriating. And I know it's probably an age thing as well. But when people are so naive to this, and you say this, and they go, oh, you're just so confrontational and so abrasive. I'm like, no, dickhead. Don't you join dots in anything? Do you wake up every single morning and go, yay, everyone wants my best interest to flourish? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, but you're cynical. No, like, observant. Cynical is when you look at something and you really just don't want to find anything good. And you go out of your way to find something shit on any thread of truth. But this stuff, it's just so absolutely, as you say, out in the open nowadays.
Yeah. Basically, you're woke, Ben.
You are. No. You're awake. You're not woke.
No, but like, being woke has nothing to do with being awake. That's the irony of the phrase.
It's actually the opposite. Being closed to things. All right. Just quickly, Leanne wants to throw in a thing about cats that she was waiting for you to come on for.
Yay, and cats.
And then before we run out of time in this hour, there's one or two other things I want to tick off the list. We've got so much to talk about this morning, but go ahead, Leanne.
Are you allowed to play a trailer? I've sent it to you anyway, just have a look. It's a documentary that's just been made called Cat Daddies.
No, YouTube, they're so full of shit, I can't play this, sorry. They're gonna take the channel off.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Anyway, I don't know where, which network is gonna snap it up and how we'll see it in South Africa, but it'll make its way somehow to one of our channels. But it's a filmmaker, Mai Huang, who's made this documentary called Cat Daddies, and the purpose of the entire project is to break male expectations surrounding men loving cats, right? Besides that, they did make money for the Little Lion Foundation as well, which is very cool. And also, the whole project is about promoting cat adoption. But what it does is it follows a whole lot of individual males in America who have their own cats and their stories around their cats, and it's really, really cute. There is actually a guy who calls himself Nathan the Cat Lady, and he on Instagram shares all of his cat shenanigans. And a lot of it's just got to do with the fact that if you're a man, you're supposed to love a dog.
Apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So it's breaking that stereotype,
Is there shame in being a cat man? I mean, why would this guy call himself a cat lady? I mean, maybe
he's
trans or something. I'm trans. Yeah,
no, he's not at all. He's just, the whole thing is if you love cats and have pet cats, you're probably an old cat lady. So I think it's quite clever that he's turned that around and called himself Nathan the Cat Lady.
Leanne, are you saying we need to normalize cat ownership by men?
Yes.
Yes.
I've been campaigning for this for so long now. It's the same
thing. I knew
thing,
you'd like this like, cause.
It's like anything. People just project their own shit onto other people. I'm proudly I wouldn't say a cat owner, because you don't own cats. Cats are far too apex.
You.
Cats are far too apex and everything that they are to be owned. So I live with cats, and cats are mostly better than people. Look at, like, Meows is staring at me right now. She is majestic right now, sitting in her anti-anxiety bed, contemplating the fact that her day will be just like yesterday, where she sleeps and ultimately judges Hopkins.
Who are these people all over the world, though, that need constant affirmation from everybody that they don't know? Like, imagine waking up in the morning. I don't know what this feels like. Like, if you're a cat owner, be a cat owner. What do we need to make a movie about being a male cat owner? Because what all the men who own cats feel bad that other men or other women don't treat them with love and respect. What kind of world are you living in? Who raised you to think everyone's going to like you?
Well, yeah, Gareth, well, I mean, obviously I agree with that, but I would see this more of a pro-adoption video, pro-adoption angle.
Definitely, as in, pro-adoption, and also the stories, for instance, the one guy they feature is a homeless guy and how he gets through his day because of having his pet cat, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're just pretty cool stories.
I often get through days because I have cats.
Is it because you're a dog lover that you're against this, Gareth?
No.
Yeah, Gareth's one of those pseudo alpha males. You must have a dog.
Don't malign me, Ben Copley. Call me a pseudo alpha male and then drag my dog into this. You and your cats go strong. Hope your toxoplasmosis gets really bad.
Oh, my God.
You start scratching your fucking ears off or something. Let's see how that goes for you.
Lord.
But you get what I mean. Like, all these movies and these series and all the propaganda, since we were talking about Bernays just now, all the propaganda that we're exposed to in the world now is all about normalizing and making people feel part of something and feel wanted and feeling loved and feeling not other. Like, who's that into other people's approval all the time, that they live their life? You know, like fat acceptance or you know, trans acceptance or whatever it is. If all you want is acceptance, that's a very low bar. Like, acceptance? Who's going around in the world going, just accept me, please. It's all I ask for. Just accept me. Sad existence that must be. Desperate for acceptance. You don't like me? Go to hell. We need more people.
We know now that you're not going to watch the nice cat stories, but that's
more people.
Fine.
No, but no, the cat story's fine. I'm not going. This is a bigger discussion, and it's something that's been driving me crazy in the media, that we constantly need to show this in a positive light because we're so worried that people are going to like say mean things.
But
to
Gareth, not everyone is as secure as you are in yourself. You know, it's not.
Sure. Then good luck to them. They're not going to succeed, are they? Because confidence is really important in success, and not everyone's going to win. How about some hard truths for those people every day? That would make them stronger. Instead, we're trying to like make them feel good about who you're acceptable and great just the way you are. Well, no, you're not if you're living under a bridge with your cat. Sorry. If you're living under the bridge with your cat, this documentary is the most interesting your life will ever be. And good for you. You got into the documentary. But don't think for a second that the rest of us are going to stop our cars under your bridge and come up there and tell you that you're accepted and you're great. We have busy lives. People have shit to do. We don't have time to be dragging everyone else with us everywhere. Please? Okay. Am I wrong? I know this is hard for a Friday. No one wants to be shouted at on a Friday, but a lot of people in this world need some tough love.
Yeah, it's a very long discussion I'd love to have at some stage, but I think most of the world's ills right now could be almost remedied if we got back to telling people how shit we were or calling them on their bullshit.
Mm-hmm. No more PR.
It's like, yeah, it's all this PR. We spent 10 years indulging each other's lowest qualities rather than promoting the things that can take us forward.
Yeah. Please, can I have my participation trophy? No. You lost. You came 45th. You don't get anything. Comrades Marathon is cancelled after the winner crosses the finish line. The rest of you go home.
That is a point I'll never agree with you on, but that's just your leap.
I'm a little lost for words. I'm just all glad that this isn't my psychology session, that's for sure. I'd leave feeling rather dejected and just sit at the bottom of the pool.
That's why you come in on a Monday for Dr. Hanan, all right?
Yeah. So
if you come in for me, if I'm your psychologist, not all of you are going to be here at the end. That's all I have to say.
No, this we've come to know.
Yeah. Well.
Gareth, I think Leanne just really wants to know when she's part of Charles Schwab's digital currency, because now she complies. I mean, she loves a fucking e-tag. She's waiting for Davos to tell her when she can trade her money in for her Schwabs.
Leanne,
you get 1,000 Schwabs and we'll tell you how you spend it.
Oh, God.
All right, it is just after 7. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Leanne's here. Ben's here. I'm here. You're here. It's good. CliffCentral.com.